Welcome back to another very fun, guest-filled, meme-filled, crazy episode of All Talk No Bock. I'm Heather.
I'm Charles.
And I'm Reese.
And as mentioned 2 seconds ago, we have a guest again on today's episode. His name is Steve. He runs Urinating Tree, everybody's favorite YouTube channel. He's hilarious and entertaining and super informed. And let's bring him in. Hi, Steve.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Oh, we are so thrilled to have you. This is so fun, and you're so funny. Tell the people about your channel and kind of and what you do.
Well, I do a... I'm already messing up. Jeez, I'm already fumbling the ball. Dear God. But I wanted to mention, I have a YouTube channel called Urinating Tree. I like to call it shitposting. So, like, it gives, like, the pretend that I'm not, like, super serious or informed or anything like that. I shoot the shit. That's really all it really comes down to. I have a YouTube account, Urinating Tree, Twitter account, Urinating Tree. I just shitpost random thoughts on there. Some get really hot takey. But that's the only reason you do Twitter, to be honest. Because there are times you just go in there, it's like, it's not good. Oh, dear God.
Right, right. Yeah, I mean, and I was wondering, because I'm obviously a fan of yours, I didn't see a video. Did you upload a video and I just missed it of when the Dodgers won the World Series? Or did you just do,
I just did the Rays one. I know, I did with that. I kind of mixed that in with that one, so.
Okay, okay. Yeah, I mean, when teams get eliminated, because you do, I guess I'll tell them for it, you do not just baseball, you do football, you do basically every sport, right?
Baseball, football, hockey, those are my big three. A little basketball here and there, but mostly those three.
Right, right. Yeah, you know, I was going to say that just in watching, it's so funny when teams get eliminated from, like, playoff contention. Those are, like, the funniest videos, I think. Those must be the most popular.
It varies. I know, like, it depends on the idea. Like, there's some where you just don't really have, like, a good idea for. I choose not to do. But if you have a good idea for, I mean, let's put it this way. My biggest example, 2019, when the Tampa Bay Lightning had a 62-win season and got eliminated in 4 straight games. That was beautiful. I missed that meme. It was fantastic. It was gold. And they win the cup the next year.
Funny.
So, damn it.
I know Tampa's...
Tampa and LA, technically.
LA's having a moment, but nobody cares about that because everybody just likes the underdog that pays their people no money.
Well, that's what happens when you...
Yeah.
I mean, well, let's put it this way.
Nobody
when
cares.
You pay Trevor Bauer more than 3 whole teams are paying their players, I don't know.
And what about when the Padres infield cost $800 million?
Don't make
that?
Me feel bitter. The Padres are just going all in at this
That's
point.
A small
I mean,
market.
They threw Fernando Tatis 14 years at $340 million, and technically that's a bargain.
It is nowadays.
But it's just like, isn't it funny the narrative, though, of those teams? It's like when the Dodgers spend money, oh, they're the rich team, they'll just pay anybody to win a championship. But when the Padres play their player, oh, look at them. They're so small, and yet they can pay, and they're all homegrown.
Yes, sir.
Dodgers have more homegrown talent. Tatis,
well,
was,
Tatis
a trade.
Was technically a trade, but he was developed by the Padres organization. I've likened the Dodgers to being the Tampa Bay Rays with money because, you know, they have that same style with Andrew Friedman. And what they've done is really efficient or like streamlined the small market processes that they did well in Tampa Bay. You know, underlying underutilized performances, you know, Max Muncy, Justin Turner, Chris Taylor. Guys like that. You have your homegrown talent that's come out of nowhere. You know what I mean? Your big guys. Corey Seager. Yeah. You know, Walker Buehler. Dustin May. Will Smith.
Bellinger.
I would say the Dodgers are more loyal to their pitchers. I haven't seen a Tampa Bay Rays pitcher stay more than, I would say, 5 years. I mean, look at what they just did this season, losing Snell and Morton.
It's weird with them because, like... There were a lot of times where I'm sitting there like, what are you doing? Yet it works out for them. Like, look at what they did with Blake Snell. I mean, his last moment in Tampa Bay is going to be pulled in a really baffling decision in Game 6.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have a guy coming in, one of the top prospects in baseball, in Luis Patino, who will probably turn out to be really good for Tampa Bay. So, I mean, they have a really smart analytics division that allows them to, you know, find those underlying talents, but they can't really pay them. The Dodgers, they are able to pay them. So that's the huge difference. Like, they have a significantly higher budget in terms of player dev, personnel, you know, equipment, structures, you know, facilities. So their budget is just, like, significantly higher, and they've really revved it into, like, an overdrive over the past 10 years.
Well, those analytics might have cost him in the end, though, in that game 7 you just said with Snell.
Well, it's, I don't know if it was really an analytical move, because, I mean, it's like, it depends on the analytics you use. I mean, with...
Yeah.
I mean, gut decision, like, though, you leave Snell in. That's my gut, though. I mean, that's just what I'm thinking.
I feel like they get too trigger happy sometimes, especially with those moves.
Yep.
I mean, I just, yeah, it's just funny how, like, the big market teams are skewered for paying people. Like, that's so odd. In no other industry ever would, like, you be penalized for paying people better, you know? It's like, and then Tampa, Oakland, you know, they don't pay anybody, those types of teams.
Yeah. Like, and I guess you're forced to rely on those, you know, underutilized assets and those small markets.
Right.
But even
I commend them for that.
Just, like,
yeah, that's such a strategy. You got to work that line.
That's the only way you can survive, especially as a small market team. Now, I mean, I'm a Pirates fan. I like to pretend they're a minor league team because, let's be real, they're not going to be good for about the next 5 years because they've blown everything up sky
just
high.
Just 5?
And they're probably going to keep blowing it up.
I'm sorry for that last season, Steve. That was pretty tough to watch.
Dude, it had to be done.
I mean, hey, at least it was only 60 games. You didn't have to endure it for that long.
That's true.
I've been on the drum that they had to dismantle everything because they weren't going to win anything with the core they had. So the thing with the Huntington administration is the game had passed them by. They had a one-size-fits-all structure towards, you know, pitching, hitting, player development. They really relied on fastball-heavy, like, tall, projectable pitchers that were ground ball. And you can't do that in these days because everyone does the shift. It's about the strikeout. It's about the home run, exit velocity, and launch angle. And they did not adapt to that.
Completely.
Right? Yeah, you got it. You got it. You got to change with the times. You got to. But what's your favorite? Enough with the negativity about the Pirates. What's your favorite thing about being a Pirates fan? Do you have a favorite
PNC
player?
Park. PNC is Park is a fantastic. It is beautiful. It is majestic. It is built perfectly. I mean, it's not like it doesn't have the amazing bells and whistles, but I mean, if you ever go there, third base side, bottom row, and then you can just take in the view of the city, you get a perfect view of the game. The entertainment, like, at PNC Park is fantastic, but that's because the Pirates like to market themselves as family entertainment. And so that part is top-notch. I have not seen, like, anything that comes close to the Pirates presentation in terms of the intermissions, in terms of, like, you know, play style, not in play style, but in terms of, like, you know, how they market to an audience.
And we're big foodies here at All Talk No Box, Steve. So I don't know if you've seen, we've talked about what a hot dog is, how to eat ice cream. What is the best snack or item to get when you're at that park?
Usually when I go to a ballpark, I usually like to eat before just because that's what, but if I go to a ballpark, like, if I'm with my girlfriend, like, I usually, like, we like to try out stuff at different ballparks, you know, see what's like in there. But I know, like, Manny Sanguine's barbecue on the outfield, I hear that's really good. I've never been, but I hear fantastic things about that. Isley's ice cream, that's good stuff, like, if you ever get the chance there. Ballpark ice cream cone. Keep the hats as a souvenir. It's like a little trophy.
Yeah,
of the
when it
places
comes to little
been.
Hats, exactly. That saucer hits different.
Yeah.
They do it. Dodger fans.
There you go, Pittsburgh fans.
Does
check them out.
Does your girlfriend like baseball?
Oh,
does your girlfriend like
baseball? Oh, yeah,
baseball
she's a huge
ball?
Baseball fan. Her big crush when we first started going out was Pedro Alvarez. And I used to give her shit for it all the time because, you know, Pedro Alvarez, good player, but he always struck out a ton. Defensively, he was a mess, but the dude hit bombs. Pedro Alvarez, he was one of the top picks in, like, 2008.
Yeah.
But, like, if you look him up, like, he's out of the league now. But, like, there was a time where I think he made the All-Star team once. He was in a home run derby, I think, in 2014. But Yeah, he was like the new hope of like the old rebuild of the Pirates. He never really panned out, unfortunately. But I mean, if you were thinking like an older comp, probably a Rob Deer or a Pete Incaviglia. Those would probably be your two, or maybe like Dave Kingman. But Dave Kingman had a bit of a longer career, so probably a Rob Deer would be your comparison.
Interesting. So you guys are both. Is she from Pittsburgh as well?
About an hour away, but yeah, she is from Pittsburgh.
Cool. We don't know a lot of, you know, we're meeting a lot of Pirates fans through AT&B and everything else. So it's cool to kind of get to know. I never knew a Pirates fan before a year.
Me too.
We like to hide in the shadows. When I grew up, I'm too young to remember the early 90s. I grew up with 20 years of just straight shit. And you have to understand, they've lost an entire generation of fans because 20 straight losing seasons, nobody's going to really care about the baseball. Per se.
That's tough.
So I'm used to like, okay, we have some prospects that are either going to get traded when they start making money, or the random veteran that comes in doesn't really care and is only there for like one final paycheck. Like there are a ton of those guys. Derek Bell in Operation Shutdown, Jeremy Burnett's, Jim Tracy was there for like a go around and he did not work out. Too many to count.
Wow. I can't imagine what it's like to be a fan. But how old are you?
I'm 33.
33. Okay, yeah, so you are pretty young. Wow. Well, I guess the Pirates have a nice 60s.
60s, 70s. Right? Decade? Yeah. I mean, I have to do a double take when I'm like, wait, we had good players back then? What?
What a concept, right?
I know, right? I do a double take leaving in the early 90s. I'm like, wait, we had Barry Bonds and Doug Trumbull.
Barry Bonds,
We had he was speedy. He was fast. He was on the Pirates. Like, jacked. Lean and like a legit like 30-30 guy. I'm like, wow. Like, I still do that with like the older teams in like 2013 through 2015. I'm like, our team was good?
Yeah.
Whoa. And this was like times when I knew. I'm like, we had MVP Andrew McCutchen. We had A.J. Burnett like off of like a revival.
God, you're
Garrett
right.
Garrett Cole, like, and then he gets really good once he leaves. And that's also the thing we have to realize. It's like, oh, our players are going to get really good when they leave. It's like, oh, Josh Bell just got traded. He's going to become a 40 home run hitter now. Oh, there goes Joe Musgrove. He's going to become a top of the line pitcher, even though he's a really solid mid rotation guy. Jameson Taillon just got traded. Just watch him become a Cy Young contender and with the Yankees.
That is the worst feeling as a baseball fan. That is the worst feeling watching your guy who just could not get it done for you for so many years go to another team and just explode once he leaves.
Success.
Yeah, we see that regularly. We've been seeing that since like I was a kid. Aramis Ramirez.
Trust me, I feel your pain, Steve.
You guys are a very solid team.
As an Angels fan, we see a lot of them go and get better, especially just lately, you know, Mark Teixeira, a lot of those guys just stop by for a season and then go and win a championship with the Yankees sort of deal. And then we just get all these studs at the end of their career. We just love signing these veteran players. So I feel your pain, Steve. I feel it. Do you... Do you guys own a dog, Steve, by chance, you and your girlfriend?
My girlfriend has, like, she lives with her parents still, but she has, like, a ton of dogs. So, like,
I know where he's going with this.
Like, rough collies, Great Pyrenees.
Well, we have a question today that was posed by one of the members of the All Talk No Balk team. Part of a kind of a your take, our take question, but I'll pose it out to the group right now is, how should a dog wear their pants, and how should dogs wear pants? And I'll let Heather go first because she's got a smile on her face like she's ready to go, and I'll just dish it over to her. How do you think a dog should wear pants?
Is that what my smile looks like? My smile is very unsure about this. Yeah, we're going to be talking about two different memes, just everybody. It's a very chill episode today, and I'll talk my box. But we're starting, I guess, with the dog. I was hoping we'd start with the giraffe, but we'll start with the dog. Okay, so first of all, I have a question for the group.
Okay.
If a dog, so obviously we all know this meme, we'll throw it up on our social too so you guys can see it. It's the one where the dog, it either wears the pants on its hind legs or horizontally, I guess.
On all four of its legs.
Right, on all four legs. So how do you put them on if it's on all four legs? How do you secure...
How would they be able to walk?
No,
super
that's
big
an
pants
easy...
for that.
Yeah, so that's easy, Heather. Like, there's not really a question there. I mean, it's still going to be the same as, like, a normal pair of pants where, like, so here's the dog. I mean, nobody can see this, so I'll do my best to articulate this well so you guys can all have a visual. But you have a dog. It's got four legs. Okay. If you're looking at the dog straight on, it's, like, chest area. So you're pulling the pants up. That's where you would button it, right? And then the waistband of the pants would just, they'd be elastic, right? So they're very stretchy. Is this making sense?
It is.
So you're saying, I see, okay, I see, well, kind of, although the construction of it is still awkward. My answer, obviously, is that they wear it on their hind legs. Dogs would wear the pants on their
hind legs.
That
is also my answer, yes.
It sounded like you're gonna, you told me I was gonna be wrong.
Thing is, with that sort of thing.
I mean, you have been lately, but...
That's rude.
Shots fired.
I would say that just because... There's a nice, you could cut a hole for the tail. Just seems easy to me, and I'm still a little confused by the four. The four legs just seems
right.
Architecturally
yeah, yeah. And where
difficult.
Would the tail go? Would the tail go in? Like, would there be a hole for the tail, or would it be out of the pants? Do you know what I mean? Like, because by that logic, then the pants are covering some part of. Never mind. But it doesn't make sense to me. The construction of the pants, if the dog were to wear them horizontally per se, like that doesn't make sense. Like literally is the tail in the pants then? Because that would mean that the pants themselves would have to go over like, I feel like I need to look up the like anatomy of a dog. So I'm using like correct terms. So you guys keep talking and give me a second.
Okay. I guess that's my answer. I don't really feel like a hot take about it like I did with the ice cream. I guess that's my answer. I don't know, Steve. Where do you fall?
I say you do the hind legs because when you think of pants, you think of protecting your private parts and your nether regions.
Right.
When it is the all four, it does not protect those. So, in the back legs, it gives maximum comfort. You don't have to have the massive elastics, especially with that. And it also protects your bottom areas. And also, if you wanted a shirt to add on there, you add it in the front. Mm-hmm. So that's how...
Why...
Yes.
Can I ask you, though, just to play devil's advocate, even though I agree with you, why would the four-leg situation not protect the dog penis and the dog
well,
vagina?
Well, I mean, technically, the dog vagina is right by, like, you know, the tail end, isn't it? So it's kind of would be missing. It's also... not protecting the poop chute.
Oh, because...
Yes,
oh,
so like...
I guess I'm thinking it would cover all of the...
Yes,
like,
all
bottom,
of the bottom pieces.
Like stomach,
it does not protect the
no,
poop
you're
chute.
Saying no.
That's okay, thank you. That's what I was going to say earlier, but I didn't want to say it. But since you said it, I'll go off of that. Okay, yeah, it doesn't protect the poop chute. So that's why I was like, okay, so I have the anatomy of like a dog pulled up literally right now. So, okay, listen. If you're doing like the horizontal thing, my question to you guys was if, you know, you're doing that, like... Would the pants, in order for the tail to be covered, it would have to go up to the pelvis? But if the tail weren't to be covered, it would only go up to the hip? So I guess my question here is, do you guys think that this is a disaster? I'm so sorry to anyone listening right now because I can see on the look of all of your guys' faces that I've lost every single one of you. But
it's a conversation that requires deep thought. So you're okay.
Yes, it does require deep thought. Okay, listen. So the hip of the dog, if the pants cover only the hip, or if they go up to the hip, the tail is not covered. However, if they go up to the pelvis, then the tail is covered. Do we think that the pants would then go up to the pelvis in order to cover the tail? And then in that case, would there be a hole for the tail to come out of? Or would they only go up to the hip and then therefore the tail wouldn't be covered at all and it's just vibing?
I think the tail, there would be a hole. It seems like there'd be a hole for the tail. Kind of like the butt is covered. I guess is my logic.
Right, so, but that would, how are those going to be structured then? How would you design pants like
that's
that?
That's what I was...
And what would they look like off the dog?
That's why I was originally
perhaps
confused.
It's like those overalls that have like a little opening at the bottom. Maybe it's like, they have like that little opening where you kind of like, allow yourself to quote unquote air out. Maybe it's something like that, where
oh, like
you
baby
can open
onesies,
it up and then
how
you
can
have
like
the tail.
Unbutton it.
Yeah, that's what I think
okay.
It would be like.
But I feel like in that case, you would need the tail to be out all the time because then the dog would just be uncomfortable. So, like, what would be the point of even giving it an option to close? Unless it's, like, a pug where the tail's just, like, a little curl, like...
Yeah, some dogs don't have tails. Some dogs
they have, like,
don't
stumps,
have tails
like
at all.
A boxer.
Very true.
But you also, they have a lot of vibration there, too, so it could be an issue.
That's true. Those dogs do tend to wiggle a lot.
Yeah. Charles, are you the dissenting opinion or are you sort of with the group?
I'm going to go even more devil's advocate and maybe even an antagonist on this one. I just, dogs are already having to do their business in front of everyone in the short grass. Why are we putting them in pants in the first place? I mean, it just looks awkward in general. I'm an advocate for no pants. No pants. Thank you, Reese. I'm just take them off entirely and let the dog just live freely. They weren't meant
Charles,
to be constricted.
Charles, do I have news for you?
It wasn't like they were born to wear these pants. And I just think it would be so weird.
I mean, with that logic, though, were people
like,
born
where is it supposed
pants?
To go to the
like,
bathroom with these
construct.
Pants on? Do you have to take off their pants for them to go to the bathroom? That just seems so mean.
Well, girls don't lift their leg. Girl dogs don't lift their leg. So then it's easy. It's then like a girl.
Is there an opening for them to go to the bathroom?
Off.
For the dog?
Okay, that's another question. That's another question.
That
is that
seems a little like
but
hard
you,
to
you
deal
raise
with.
A good point because opening. It does make it complicated.
It does. Just let them keep their dignity is all I'm saying. Don't let them wear the pants.
Well,
I don't know.
Okay,
it feels awkward.
No, keeping your dignity would be clothing yourself.
The dog just seems so free. It was born in the wild. It shouldn't be like clothed, in my opinion.
If you want to technically describe clothes, it's not out of dignity. It's out of keeping warm, especially in cold times.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm.
So, like, if you're running around buck naked, dogs have fur. We don't. That's why we need dignity.
Well, we have body
If you shaved off a dog's fur, they need clothing.
Reese, go to Texas right now buck naked and tell the people that they have body hair so they should be okay.
I don't think I would be alive long enough to do that because the weather would be so cold and I literally would not have
even Sasquatch is freezing his ass off right now.
Well, another thing too
is like, if we were to walk outside with no clothes on, we'd get arrested.
Well, arrested at
not
best.
In all communities.
Then
aren't
you'd be
there
looking
some nudist
at frostbite,
communities out there?
Pneumonia, hypothermia. You'd be looking at a lot of issues.
Yes, we'd be arrested among other hazardous concerns. But yes, Charles, you are right. There are nudist communities. There's actually a nude beach here in San Diego.
Of course there is.
Why are you going to constrict the dog? It's just, I don't know.
I'm not constricting the dog, but I'm just saying, like, you said, let's have them keep their dignity. And I'm saying, okay, well, technically, it's not dignified if you're walking around naked. Like, that's the opposite.
Okay, but hold on a second. Hold on. In this universe, because Family Guy's had this debate too, in this universe, are the dogs a part of society the way people are? Like, are they equals to people or are they not? Are they just dogs?
Well, I wouldn't say they're just dogs, but I mean, obviously people and dogs are two completely different things. But yes,
but can they
dogs...
talk? Can they
if
work?
If you asked a dog if they wanted to wear pants, I bet you they said no. Like, a good portion of them.
Well, that's completely hypothetical.
The dog even knows what pants are.
Yeah, you're just assuming that dogs are intelligent.
That's like,
what
is pant?
Unfortunately, Steve, I think a lot of dogs know what pants are to sit.
Why?
Because I've seen a lot of dogs wearing clothes.
Well,
yeah, but
they
don't wear
dogs
wearing
shirts
pants.
They don't wear
for
like
decoration.
Like shirts and stuff
for sure.
And dresses.
Yeah. Like my mom's dog is small, but they has like a little like sweater on. But it's
see
all
a little sweater. Little sweater's different than pants, though, Steve. Now we
why?
Just changed the subject completely.
Okay, listen. Actually, we can use that to our advantage because listen to this. Okay, if you're talking about dogs wearing sweaters, that answers the question right there because so when we're talking about a wardrobe and you have pants and a shirt, okay, obviously you wear that together. When you put a sweater on a dog, it wears the sweater on its two front legs and there's nothing on its two back legs. Henceforth, that's where the pants would go. Thank you. Case in point.
Thank you and good night. All right.
No, okay, you're getting heated over nothing. You're getting heated over nothing.
But this is quality content. You should just let them go off about this.
No,
this is what drives viewers to come. They see an argument about the most inane shit, and then people will go off about that. So, you know what?
Yeah, does anyone have a counter for my argument?
No.
Heather, I'm looking at you.
Okay, first of all, slow down. Press pause. I'm normally the one to go crazy. It's not right that you're going crazy. I'm normally the one to go crazy. I agree with you. I don't see the problem with dogs wearing pants as opposed to sweaters. That's what I'm saying.
No,
I see them
a problem.
As equal.
That's fine. What I'm saying is that answers the question. When you're putting a sweater on your dog, the sweater does not have four holes. It has two for the two front legs. leaving the two back legs bare, yes, which is where the pants would go, if you're gonna dress it up in a full outfit.
No, I hear you. That's what I'm saying. As an outfit, it would make sense if the shirt was the front and the pants were the back. And it would also make sense in terms of design if we were to design dog pants. So I agree. I think we've reached a consensus.
The only rebuttal I'll have to that is Yogi Bear. The man only wore a shirt and it looked just fine on him.
Well, so did Winnie the Pooh, but, and so did you Winnie know. The Pooh.
Well, we're not talking about dogs. But, you know. Oh, I'm sorry, we're not talking about bears. And also, those bears walked on their hind legs. So, like, they literally were bipedal. Okay, so are humans. So, that makes sense that they would dress like us.
Bipedal.
They weren't quadrupeds, like dogs.
Okay, yeah, fine. So, it is like Family Guy then. So, the answer is yes, it's like Family Guy. It's like,
sure.
What's his name? Brian in Family Guy. That's the answer. Right.
Well, yeah, that is the answer. But you guys are also assuming that these, like, cartoon animals mirror real animals. Like, these dogs in real life don't walk like Brian. Like, they walk on their all four legs, but they would still dress like him if he were to put on, I don't know, does he wear clothes? I don't think so. But if he were, like...
No.
Okay, yeah.
I think he wears clothes.
He wears clothes, pants. Ironically. But that was my original question. Are we acting in this world like dogs are more active parts of society, or are they just like pets, like they are now?
We're talking about, like, right now, if you were to go out and buy Lucy pants, what type
Steve,
of
Lucy
pants?
Is my dog.
What type of pants would you
Lucy
purchase
wouldn't
for
tolerate. Lucy would not tolerate that nonsense. And
well, that backs up Charles' argument right there, so there you go.
No, but I'm just kidding. Lucy would wear leather pants and a biker jacket because Lucy's this badass female.
Okay, but would the pants be on only her, like, two back legs?
Yes.
Okay,
right.
There you go.
That's my answer. Okay. Okay. So this next argument becomes very strange based on your current premise, because why, even more so, would a giraffe wear a necktie? But alas, that's where
Maybe
we are
right
now.
Like a job interview.
Okay. Well, then you're saying, that's what I'm saying, Reese. Then you're saying now you're saying that giraffes are part of society like humans, but dogs are just pets? Explain that to me.
Okay, listen. Maybe it's Halloween and the zookeepers are dressing the giraffes up like characters in The Office. So one of them's going to be Jim Halpert, therefore has to wear a tie.
Where would you place
the necktie? This one is so easy, it's not even funny. But if you guys want to go first, I'll let you.
No, Steve, go first. Steve, so the giraffe meme, would a giraffe wear a necktie, like, up on its neck or, like, below leading into the chest area?
I would say below, because if you're showing me the picture, it seems like it's constricting his airflow, especially up top. It just seems like it's, like, it's not, like, do you wear a tie, like, up here? Like, up at the neck and, like, constricting. No, you wear it down here to try and, like, you know, maximum flow. So that's one of the way I'm seeing with the giraffe. Giraffes just have long necks, so that's why you have it down there. Like, do you, like, in that situation, as I said, it would be, like, here. Like, and, like, the trachea.
Uh-huh.
There we go, the analogy, yes.
Yeah, that's awkward. That does not work, even for a giraffe.
Okay, Charles?
I would say I agree with Steve here. It can't be worn up top, but, you know, I think if it restricts the neck up here, it seems very proper. So maybe, like, where a giraffe would wear it is based off of their, maybe, like, how proper they are or how classy they feel. So
like,
if they
maybe
wear
he'd
it,
wear
like,
a bow tie up here, but a regular tie down here.
Exactly. Like, make a little bow tie up here, and then if they wear it in the middle, then they're, like, you know, just, like, in between. And then if they wear it low, they're just chilling. They're casual. They're not, like, going up. They're not very formal that day.
Yes.
Yeah.
Reese?
It's not so black and white. I also agree because, kind of like Steve mentioned earlier, like, if you're comparing a giraffe to a human in this sense, like, no matter how long your neck is, like, we all have a neck, okay? Like, and if I'm going to put a tie on, like, I'm not going to put it up here because that just looks ridiculous. Never mind that it constricts my airway. I just look like an idiot. But if I put it down here, you know, as per social norms and, you know, dress code, I'm gonna look good. I'm gonna look snatched. So does the giraffe.
Yeah, I gotta say, this one isn't much of an argument, because I think I agree with the masses here. I say that the giraffe wears the necktie in its chest area, like a human, I guess, would. But I'm gonna throw out a premise. The meme doesn't show that when it's, like, up here, how, like, it doesn't show a long necktie. If you were to wear it up here, it would have to be a long necktie, because it covered the whole neck. That's the other thing.
I don't know if their arms could reach that high, too. Like, they don't got, you know, probably going to reach, like, to the bottom of their neck.
Well, I don't think that they would be able to put it on themselves.
Oh, if we're talking about apes, this, they're so putting it on themselves apes. Here, Reese.
Like, I don't know how you tie a tie.
Yeah, we
they're
didn't
standing on their
that.
Back legs, and then they're just, like, you know, with their hooves, like, trying to get that on.
Yeah, so, that's very okay, sad.
Well, what about then a T-Rex? Like, could that put a tie on itself? Its arms are so
no.
small.
That one, no. T-Rex, that's too short.
Or like here.
The problem is every time I try and do that, it keeps...
Okay, wait, guys. Okay, I know that like the tie one was easy, but how about this? I'll throw you another like scenario okay. here. If a giraffe is putting on a turtleneck, would the turtleneck, the collar of the turtleneck, extend all the way up its neck, or would it still
yes.
just be, like, up a portion of its neck?
No. See, I grew up...
I would say
it would
be the whole
yeah,
neck.
It would be the whole neck. See, my mom always liked to instill the slogan in my sister and I that you're only as warm as your neck is. Okay. And so I'm not a turtleneck person. I'm not a scarf person, necessarily. But she's big on those things, and she wears them, she covers her neck big time. So I'm gonna say if a human does that, then a giraffe would do it too, if it's cold. Which again, why don't giraffes need to wear clothing? See our dog argument from 5 minutes ago. Yeah, I'm gonna say that it covers its whole neck. What do you guys think?
I agree. I think so too.
Okay.
I'm on the same page, yeah.
Everybody's on the same page. Wow, guy. You know, in terms of debates...
Yeah, I don't know how many times we had a consensus like this. We're all on yeah. the same thing. It's crazy.
My character wasn't personally attacked. I mean, it's a win-win day for us here at All Talk No Box. So I guess that'll wrap it up, and we'll
don't
be right back.
Don't get used to it. This is
yeah,
the last
I know,
time
right?
that we're probably all going to agree upon something. So cherish this episode, please.
I don't even want to imagine
oh,
the fights
it
that
gets
happen
ugly.
Here.
Well,
the
hold
food,
on. Hold on. See, before we wrap this up, I have a question for you. Do you think that a hot yeah. dog is a sandwich or a taco? I have
oh
to know.
It is not
Thank
a
you.
Sandwich. It is not a sandwich.
It's a taco.
Hot dogs are open face. The sandwich, I think of like two pieces of bread, like a hoagie or like whatever you call a submarine.
Right.
I consider that a sandwich. Hot dogs.
Okay, but is
sandwich.
It, would you consider it more
Undisputed.
A taco or more
okay,
a pita pockets?
Probably a taco, I would say. Although, like.
Are you familiar with the pita pockets?
Yes. Like, pita pockets are a little more, like, are deeper. Like, tacos are narrow, same thing as a hot dog bun. That's how I consider, like, a hot dog.
You know, honestly, Heather, I feel like if I were going to classify a pita pocket as anything, it might be a salad. Like, because. The pita
oh, no.
bread, like, kind of serves as a bowl, and then you're stuffing it with, like, various contents.
Okay, but that's
so
not...
So I don't even think
okay,
a pita pocket
matter.
Belongs in this conversation.
No.
I'd say that's more like a burrito bowl at a Chipotle, except you can eat the bowl.
Okay,
yeah, exactly,
Steve?
Edible bowl. It's
Steve.
Edible.
Steve.
Get it? Ha.
Steve. Steve, not Reese. Steve.
Go one.
Back.
Nobody even acknowledged that.
Steve. Steve. Go back to, is a hot dog a sandwich... episode, and I think my argument will be convincing enough. I won't repeat myself because I have
it's
dignity.
Not convincing. It's not, trust me, it's not.
I did a lot of research, Steve.
Not enough research, clearly,
research.
Because there's literally the website that Heather told
it's
us to look
no
at.
No need.
There's not enough
no
research
need, Steve.
For that.
You're good.
Well, and also, Heather literally gave us a website called thecuberule.com. I went on that website, and on that website, it literally says that a hot dog is a taco.
But
so
I explain. We won't need to revisit. Reese is all hot and bothered because she knows I'm right.
Not even in the slightest bit. She also used Wikipedia as one of her sources, which, as we know, is not credible. And
I did not
I say more. I don't think so. No, you did use Wikipedia. You literally
Wikipedia,
said according to Wikipedia.
It's okay if
you probably edited
these
the page yourself.
Like,
Reese does instigate this argument. I would say. Once every three
like
podcasts.
Every week? Yeah.
She brings
yeah,
it up.
Reese brings this up frequently, Steve.
Every time we have a guest, she has to make sure that it's a taco.
She has to make sure that she's right and nobody else could be right. Spreading the word. She has to be right at everything. And by the way,
it's about the public being educated on the classification of a hot dog.
And by the way, Steve,
people going around saying that a hot dog is a sandwich, let alone a pita pocket. What kind of world do we live in?
Steve, by the way, you chew your ice cream, you do not lick it. That's a common misconception. So we're going to wrap things up. We'll be right back.
Brandon Sports Talk is a sports talk podcast where he interviews athletes, coaches, and sports business owners. You can listen to Brandon Sports Talk on YouTube and find his amazing content on Instagram at Brandon Sports Talk, as well as Twitter at @talk_Brandon.
That's it from us here at All Talk No Bock. Thank you so much for tuning in on this lovely Tuesday on Spotify. We hope you enjoyed this content. A lot of memes. We threw in some baseball at the beginning there, which was nice, and we hope you enjoyed all of Urinating Tree's content and his guests. He did a great job for us today, and go check out all those Pittsburgh Pirates food that he mentioned. If you're local in Pittsburgh, make sure to go check out all that good stuff that he mentioned out there at the stadium, and be sure to check us out on all of our social media channels, Twitter, Instagram, the TikTok is still going strong, all of those All Talk No Bock. Visit our website, alltalknobock.com, for all of our latest articles, all of our merchandise via Redbubble, get all that great apparel. And we got some articles coming up. Heather, what's going on in the writing world and anything else that I missed?
What's going on in the writing world? Well, I do not have any upcoming articles myself, but we do have, let's see, we just had one from Adam, so very good. We have a lot of exciting, the new writers are just constantly churning out stuff, which is awesome to see, so great job to them. And again, to plug the, I did it last week, and we just recorded our very first YouTube show. It'll be called Batter Up, and it'll be airing on YouTube Thursday, March 4th. That'll be every Thursday, once a week. So now we have something every day of the week. We have articles Monday, Wednesday, Friday, podcast Tuesday, YouTube Thursday. So, Steve, we hope that you check out our YouTube show too, and it's about we're going to be cooking the secret menu items off of all stadium's menus. So you might learn a little something about your Pittsburgh Pirates, maybe food that you didn't know, and so that's really exciting. So we have that coming up, and again, you can find our merch on Redbubble. We do have new designs coming up. I know I've been saying that for a while, but they definitely are coming up. We've just been having delays because of the Texas storm, and we've been having a couple technical difficulties, but they are coming up soon, along with stickers that Reese and Johnny, our two graphic designers, have been working on. And just follow us on all the platforms, as Charles said. And Steve, where can they find you on social media?
Well, Heather, you can find me on a Urinating Tree at YouTube. Mainly, I just released a video yesterday. I think probably not yesterday in terms of, the time the video was released, and I'm totally bumbling this again. I'm so sorry. I thought I would get this right for once. But I think my next vid is probably going to be on the Nashville Predators. They are in a sticky situation. Otherwise, on Twitter, I'm go by Urinating Tree. I'm unfortunately under the resignation that Antonio Brown is a Super Bowl champion, and I'm just dunking on myself at this rate.
Gross.
It's not good. Instagram, I do have one. It's Urinating_Tree, but I don't really post much on there.
Mm-hmm.
I think the last two ones have just been photos of food that I've made. Like, it's just like
good
steaks and scallops and all the good stuff.
Yummy, yummy, yummy. So, Steve, we want to thank you so much for coming on, and we hope to have you on again sometime, if you'd like. And, guys, check out his content. It's hilarious. It's so entertaining. The videos are all different. You never know what he's going to say. And it's the content that you're sort of thinking in your head, but somebody has the guts to say it out loud. So it's really fun content. And go check it out. Urinating Tree. Steve, thank you so much. We love you all. Reese and Charles love you as always. And we'll see you next week for a very special episode celebrating the Negro Leagues, even though it'll come out the first week of March, but we know. We tried to fit it in. We're not very good. Okay, we made a scheduling mishap, but it'll be really fun with a brand new guest on. So, very excited about that. Everybody have a great Tuesday. We'll see you next week. Bye!